Morning. Today's daf in Bava Metzias Pei Hei. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zichron Shmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We're on Pei Dalam and Beis, and we are in Agarata. Started the seventh parak of Bava Metzias just a couple days ago. And really, the Gemara, without much discussion of the Mishnah, launches into Agarata. We started the Agadah on Pei Gimel Amid. I guess you could go all the way back to Pei Gimel Amid Aleph. Pei Gimel Amid Beis, we started with the Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, who is the son of Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. So he lived a very interesting life. The Gemara chronicles some of his life here in our Gemara. We got up to his death yesterday. We got all the way up to his death. On Pei Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara interjected the story of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon with some other, I would say, more famous Agadata, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, how they met, how they became brother-in-laws, the death of Reish Lakish, and the ultimate death of Rabbi Yochanan. And so that took us on Pei Dalam and Aleph. On Pei Dalam and Beis, which is where we're up to, so we go back to the story of Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon and chronicle his life. He lived a life of Yisurim. There were a lot of painful suffering that he endured over the course of his lifetime, and it had a lot to do with the fact that he was appointed the DA. He was a district attorney for the Roman government. He gathered up the Ganavim. He put them in jail. He had them killed. And in doing so, some of the people that he gathered up was also people from Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha went over to him and said to him, "You can't do that. You're a Moser." And he justified, he rationalized, and he said, "Well, the ones I gather up are really Chayv Misa, and so I'm in good shape." But nevertheless, though, even though he said that, but he suffered from terrible anxiety and guilt over this. And the Gemara on Pei Dalam Beis chronicles some of that anxiety that he suffered from, and the actual Yisurim that he suffered from as well. His wife took care of him and took care of all of his suffering, which included nightly bleeding, but eventually she left him. But as we'll see later on, though, it's an interesting relationship. I mean, again, we're not given a lot of information, but she left him, and we'll come back to her a little bit later on this morning. And then when he died, so he was held up in the attic. Somewhere between 18 to 22 years, says the Gemara, he was held up there in the attic. So he was somewhere between being alive and being dead. Meaning, the Gemara describes it kind of like a sleeping state, right, like a coma, if you will, for those 18 to 22 years of being in the attic. Gemara told a couple of stories of what happened when he was up in the attic, and then ultimately he died, and he was buried. He was buried together with his father in the cave. And as we'll discuss a little bit later on this morning, it's of course fitting that the two of them are buried in the cave. The two of them spent a good part of their life in the cave together. In other words, the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in the cave. So it was fitting that the two of them were buried together in the cave. The snake coiled itself around the entrance of the cave in order to prohibit entrance into the cave. But ultimately, they spoke to the snake, they petitioned, and he was allowed entrance into the cave. Okay, this is where we got up to yesterday. We're going to continue right from where we left off on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and we are starting now with the Shalach Rebbe. So now Rebbe. So you understand the tekufa we're in right now is that we are just after Churban Beis Hamikdash, and we are one generation, or less than one generation before Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi. So not to give an absolute year, but we're in somewhere in the second century, approximately. Beginning of the second century, end of the first century. So Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon, again, is a student of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself is a student of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva lived during Churban Beis HaMikdash, and lived after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And as we'll see now, we are moving forward one generation. We're going to Rebbe. But again, it's not really a generation later. They overlapped, and we'll see more of this we'll see this right now. Shalach Rebbe Ladabra Beishto. Rebbe now is going to try to marry the widow of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So he's going to propose. He's going to make a proposition that he should marry the widow of the now deceased Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. So Shachalei. So she sends the following rejection back to him. Klish nishamish b'kodesh yishamish b'chol. So it's an amazing reaction. She says no. She says I was married to somebody who was holy, and now I can't marry. I can't be married to you. She's talking to Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. So okay, it's rather amazing. But everything is relative, and you know, relatively speaking, I mean, she knew. So Taman Amar. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they said over a little bit differently, but it's the same basic idea. Ba'asa Damari Besa Tala Zaina, where the Balabais hangs up his weapons. Kul Barai Kulta Tala. So you can't have a shepherd hang his stuff in the same place. Okay, in other words, but same basic idea, meaning she was married to a great, and now she's going to marry Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. So Shalach La. So
Rebbe Yehuda Anasi was not Rebbe Yehuda Anasi yet. And this was the previous generation.
Absolutely. Meaning, again, in relative terms. I mean, all this, exactly. Right? All this is discussed in relative terms. So Shalchla Nehida B'Torah Gadol Mimeni, Avav Mamaisim Tovim Migadol Mimeni. So Rabbi didn't take no for an answer. So he said, "Look," he says, "I understand your husband was greater than me in Torah. That's fine." But Masim, in other words, he's greater than me. So Shachalei, so she sent back to him, B'Torah Miyagadu Mimcha Lo Yadana. She says, look, as far as Torah is concerned, so that's in the base measure, so I don't know. I'm not holding from Torah. I don't know who's greater. So I'll let you figure that out. But B'Masim Yadana Da Kabbalah Yisura. But I know he was greater than you in Masim, because I know with the Yisurim that he went through in his lifetime. So I know he's greater than you. So basically, a second time she rejected. B'Torah Mahi. Now, the Gemara itself is going to tell us that Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who was greater than whom in terms of Torah. So, Dichayavi Yasser, Rebbe Shimon, Gamliel, Rebbe Yehoshua, Ben Karcha, Safsal. And now we're painting a picture in the base medrash, and sitting on the benches is Rebbe Shimon, Gamliel, and Rebbe Yehoshua, Ben Karcha. Note that Rebbe Shimon, Gamliel is the father of Rebbe. Okay. Yasser, Kamai, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Ara. Now, of the students, two of them are... Here, we're putting now literally side by side, Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who were sitting on the ground. So at this point in time, so they were of a student status. Maksha Mefarke. So, but nevertheless, so the questions they asked, the answers they gave, clearly these two students were superior than the other students, and so therefore they were going to get a raise. And I mean that here literally. A raise meaning to get up from the floor and to be given a bench, which in the base medrash was a sign of prominence. So Amri Meimei Manushosim Behemioshim Agabe Karka, we're drinking from the water and they're sitting on the ground, meaning they don't belong on the ground. Abdulu Safsaleh, so they made benches now for these two, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe. Askinu, and they were literally lifted up, they got a raise. Okay. Amalam Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prayed to Achas Yeshli Benechem Atem Mavakshim La'avdami Mehemeni. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel opposed the raise. He did not want Rebbe to be taken from the floor to be sitting on the bench. He says, I have one son, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, meaning reference to Rebbe, and I'm going to lose him. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Because once you put him up on the bench, so now you are giving him more visibility. The other Talmidim are going to see him. The other Talmidim are going to give him the Ayin Hara. And I don't want that to happen to my son, so you're going to take him off the bench and you're going to put him back down on the ground. So Achtu Ula Rebbe, so they put him back down on the ground. Now Amalam Rebbe Shua Mekarcha. So Rebbe Shua Mekarcha says, okay, now what does that mean now? Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon now is left on the bench. He says, now Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon doesn't have a father. At this point in time, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai is already dead. So now Rebbe Yehoshua Mekarcha says, Mishe Yesh Lo Av Yichya, Mishe Ein Lo Av Yamus. Now that's not right. Meaning that Rebbe has a father who can protect his son. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon does not have a father now to protect his son. And so now he should be subject to the Ayin Hara, and he should suffer from whatever the Ayin Hara is going to give him. Achtu anami l'Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. So they took Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and they put him down the floor as well. Okay, now, Chalosh Daite. Now, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon felt that was unwarranted, that he should be put down on the floor. Meaning, he felt like he deserved that. He should be on the bench. And he didn't have a father saying otherwise. So he felt that he was wronged in being taken from the bench and being put back down on the floor. Amar ka chashavisu lei kavasi. Do you really think that he and I are the same? Meaning, he's pointing to Rebbe. Meaning, Rebbe, I kind of understand. But in other words, do you think I'm on that level that I should also be put down on the floor? And he felt that he should not have. So, Ad O Yomad, and the Gemara points out that The relationship between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon changed a little bit after this incident. Up until that time, Kiava Amar Rebbe Milsa, when Rebbe would say something in the basement, Rebbe Shava Messiah, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon would be there to support him. So he had his back. And Mikan Ve'elach, but from that point going forward, Kiava Amar Rebbe Yeshli Lahashiv, Rebbe said, I have a question, and then Amar Le Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon turns to Rebbe from this point going forward and says, Kach v'chach yesh lahashiv, yeah, I know your questions, you're going to ask the following question, Zui tshuvascha, but I'm telling you, I already know the answer to your question. So hashta hikaptuni teshuvos chavilos she'ein behem mamish. And he kept shepherding me with questions that don't really have any substance, but basically, from that point in time, he was just looking to bother me. Okay, Chalish Dait to the Rebbe. So at that point in time, Rebbe had Chalishas Das, meaning because he felt like, you know, I was put down. As a result, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon was also put down, back down on the ground, and now he doesn't look at me the same, he doesn't treat me the same. So Rebbe experienced Chalishas Das. Also, Amalei Lavua, Amalei Bini, Al Yeira Lach. So he turns to his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he, you know, he complains, and his father says, no, don't complain. Shuhu Ari ben Ari v'atar Ari ben Shual. Here's a good way to look at it. He, meaning Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is Ari ben Ari, the lion, the son of a lion. His father's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. You, on the other hand, you're Ari ben Shual, you're the lion, the son of a Shual, a fox. Now, mind you, by the way, who's talking right now? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Meaning the father is saying, you're the lion, the son of a fox, which clearly puts him in a position where he is self-deprecating, and he's being humble. And the Gemara points out, Vahainu Dama Rebbe. And now it leads us to the next statement of Rebbe, which now we understand. And that is, Shlosha Anvisanin Hein Ve'elu Hein. Rebbe says, I have a list of the three most humble people on this earth that I know, and they are, well, not that I know. Okay, you'll see. Two of them lived well before Rebbe, but there were three of the most humble people in history, and one of them is my father. And then Ve'elohein, and they are Abba, Tapa Pehe Amad Aleph, B'nai Besera, and Yonasan Ben Shaul. Okay, so three of the most humble people, and we experienced firsthand, we saw in the Gemara, where his father describing his son said that you're Ari Ben Shual, which is a clear demonstration that his father was a humble man. Now, the Gemara points out, how do we know that these three people are so humble? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hadamaran. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we already pointed out, he's humble. B'nai B'seira, now as far as the B'nai B'seira concerned, so we have to go back now a little bit in time, we're now in Beit Sheni, we're in the middle of the Second Temple, and they had questions that they asked regarding Karban Pesach, how to bring the knife from outside into the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. If Shabbos and Erev Pesach coordinate, they didn't know the answer. And in came a stranger from Bavel who was able to explain to them how to do everything. And that stranger was Hillel. And so at that point in time, they recognized, oh, this is a great man. So B'nai B'seira, who at the time was the leaders of the Jewish people, so they handed over the mantle to Hillel right away. And the Gemara says it's a sign of their humility. So B'nai B'seira da'amar mar, hoshivuhu b'rosh, uminu l'nasi aleihem. So they took Hillel and they pointed him to be the head, and he was a nasi. Okay, so that shows their humility. And three is Yonas, excuse me, Yonas Ben Shaul, the Kamalei LaDaviv, Atatim Lochal Yisrov, Ani Alecha LeMishna. Yonas Ben Shaul, who was obviously in the next direct line of being king, so he turns to his friend Dov, and he says, "I'll tell you what, you'll be the king, and I'll be your second in command." Now, the Gemara says, in story number 2 and story number 3, it's not perfect evidence that they were humble. Mimai. Dilma Yonas Ben Shaul de Chaza de Garid Ama, de Garir Ama Basa David. So as far as Yonas Ben Shaul, maybe it's not a function of humility, maybe it's just a simple function of, he knew. That, in other words, he only relinquished leadership because he knew that nobody was going to follow him if he declared himself to be the leader. So that it could be that that's not a function of humility. So B'nai B'seira, Nami de Chazula Hillel Da'adif Minayu. And as far as B'nai B'seira is concerned, so again, that may not be a function of humility. It could just simply be a simple recognition of Hillel really deserves to be the leader, not them. Okay. So, Ella, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Vadai an Vesanhu. But the Gemara says, but unequivocally, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel for sure was humble, describing himself as an Ari Ben Shua. Remember, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the leader of the Jewish people.
He's a Nasi.
So clearly, to describe himself as a shul, that is a self-deprecating. That's a humbling statement. Which, in other words, it wasn't that he didn't. It wasn't that he actually was a shul. It was that he was humble. Amar Rabbi Chavim Yisur Kibbal Alav Tlei Sashni. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi accepted upon himself Yisurim as well. Chaviv and Yisurim. He says it's beloved. So he accepted upon himself Yisurim. And for 13 years, Shis B'Tzimirta, V'Sheva B'Tzaparna. So six is Tzimirta. Now, I'm suggesting that it's probably the passing of a kidney stone.
Yes.
Okay, again, I'm not giving diagnosis. But that's the way Rashi seems to describe it. And Sheva B'Tzaparna, so Rashi simply says it's some sort of ailment of the mouth. Okay, I can't give you more than that. Now, in the other version, it's just we're going to flip the numbers around. 7 years of the kidney stone and 6 years of the pain in the mouth. But either way, for 13 years he suffered. The stable man of Rebbe was wealthier than Shmuel Malka. Shmuel Malka was a popular king, the Gemara makes reference to, who was obviously very wealthy, and the stable man of Rebbe was wealthier than him. Which parenthetically makes sense, by the way. Rebbe himself was an extraordinarily wealthy man. The Gemara says in the history, one of the wealthiest men of history. So the Gemara now is going to tell a short story regarding the stableman of Rebbe. When he would feed his horse, when he give his horse feed, the horses rumbled to get the food, and you could hear that at a distance of 3 milim. About 3 kilometers away. There were so many horses, so it caused that kind of commotion. And the stableman of Rebbe knew that Rebbe suffered terribly, and he knew that when he went to the bathroom, so because, again, I'm guessing that he passed the stone while going to the bathroom, unbelievable painful, Rebbe was crying out, and people heard. So what the stableman did is he tried to time the feeding of the animals to the same time that Rebbe went to the bathroom to basically overpower the noise that was being made by Rebbe so that Rebbe would be saved from the embarrassment of having people know that he went to the bathroom. Still, Rebbe made more sound going to the bathroom than the horses did when feeding. They can hear it overseas. Okay, maybe a little bit of a guzma, but still, there's certainly the idea that it was extraordinarily painful and that Rebbe was screaming in pain when he went to the bathroom. But the Gemara says, but if we could do a little bit of comparison shopping, the Gemara says that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon's Yisurim that we learned about yesterday's daf is greater than that of Rebbe's Yisurim. You see, with Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, those Yisurim came me'ava. Right, the Gemara and Brachos in the beginning. Remember, we retreated over there to the discussion of if you have Yisurim, Yifashesh Mamasov, you have to be careful, you have to check your deeds. In other words, most probably you're getting the Yisurim because you did something wrong, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you Yisurim. But the Gemara says, but if you're perfect, I mean, when I say if you're perfect, you know, in other words, capital I, capital F, but if you're perfect, so then the Gemara says, so then you could say it's Yisurim Shal Ava. The Gemara here is telling us that the Yisurim that was suffered from Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon were in fact that. They were Yisurim Shal Ava. As opposed to that of Rebbe, they were not Yisurim Shal Ava. So the Gemara says, the Rebbe, Ayde Masa Balve Ayde Masa Halchu. You see, Rebbe actually deserved the Yisurim that he received. Okay, it only begs the next question, what did he do that to deserve the Yisurim? So Ayde Masa Bal Mahi, the Gemara asked the question, what did he do? So now we're talking about the big Avera of Rebbe, if you can imagine. And the Gemara says that there was an eagle, there was a calf. And the calf was ready to get shechted. The calf ran away right before the Shechita. So the calf went under the coat of Rebbe and the calf started crying. So Amar Lei, Rebbe says to the calf, Zil, lekach notzarta. No, you go, you get shechted. You know that's why you're here on this earth. in order to get shechted. So it's fine, you go ahead. So now on one hand, Rebbe was right. On the other hand, he showed a lack of compassion. And the Gemara says, Amre, hovela kamerachem, leso ala yisurim. Because he didn't have the proper compassion, so therefore he had to suffer from the yisurim, make him a little bit more sensitive. Va'ayde maisa hachu, and the Gemara says, and Rebbe did something that was special, and so therefore the yisurim left him, and that is yumecharav kakanshe amta de Rebbe besa. Rebbe's Amta de Rebbe, the maidservant de Rebbe, who gets, by the way, a lot of airtime in Bavli, in the Shatz Bavli, right? A number of times she comes up in the Gemara. So very, very, very intelligent woman. The Gemara elsewhere tells stories of basically the Chachamim turn to her for definitions of words and okay. Anyway, so Hava Kakansha Amta de Rebbe. So she's sweeping the house. So Besa Hava Shaja b'nei Karkushta. So she was sweeping up the some weasels that were in the house. V'kakansha lahu, and she was ready to now dispose of them. So Amar le Shavkinu. So Rebbe says to his maidservant, "You leave those little critters alone." So Ksiv Rachmava Komasav. The pasuk says in Tehillim, we're all familiar, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanus al kol ma'asav, and every one of his creatures, and we have to imitate Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to also be compassionate on every one of his creatures.
After the calf.
The Gemara says, because as a result of this, this is why the Yisurim left him. Okay, do me a favor, just give me a second. So Amri, Ho Merachim Nerachim Aleha. So, okay, so he had Rachmanis, so now the Min HaShemayim, they're going to have Rachmanis on him. Okay. Kulushnei Yisuri de Rebbe Lazar Lo Shachiv Inish Belo Zmane. Now, for the years that Rebbe Lazar was suffering, so nobody died prematurely during those years. Meaning that because of his Yisurim, so he provided a certain protection, his chus for Klal Yisrael, so that nobody died early. However, not however, wrong conjunction. Kulu shnei yisuri de Rebbe lo itzirch ama lemitra. During the years that Rebbe suffered, which were 13 years, that we know, the Gemara does not tell us how long Rebbe Shimon suffered. But during the years of Rebbe suffering, those 13 years, lo itzirch ama lemitra, the world did not need rain. Da'amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila Kashi Yuma Dimitra Kiyuma Dedina. A couple statements of the Gemara talking about how the Chachamim did not like rain. It was a necessary, let's not call it evil, but it was a necessary discomfort of this world. You know, it rains outside, so you have to be indoors. You can't go outside. You can't travel. There's nothing you can do when it's raining. Well, not nothing, but in other words, it was an inconvenience. So it's like din. It's like going to Beis Din. Meaning going to Beis Din is uncomfortable, right? You're going to court. You're going to be in front of a judge. You don't know how the ruling is going to go. So rain is like going to court. It's uncomfortable. It's an inconvenience. You know, it's one of those like harsh realities of life. And v'amar ameimar yilav tzarech la'am abal rabban rach me'alav v'at l'lay. Ameimar made another statement. He said that, you know, if we didn't need rain, I'm telling you the Chachamim would daven and stop rain altogether. It's so inconvenient. But we need it. So during the 13 years that Rebbe suffered, the world did not need rain. Meaning that the earth was fertile, moist, soft, and even without rain. The Gemara tells a story that when during these 13 years they would pull a radish out of the ground, have a kaima bira malya maya, and there were and would fill that hole was water, meaning that the earth was so soft and so irrigated that there was no need for rain whatsoever during those years. Okay, yeah.
Ikla Rebbe la Asre de Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon.
So now Rebbe goes to the town of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Amale Yeshla ben la Oso Tzadik. So he now inquires, is there a son for, did Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon have a son? Okay. I'd like to think this is after the proposal that he made to the widow of Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Meaning at the time when he proposed, he didn't know. What is he, you know, that's a detail. didn't need to know. But anyway, he's asking now whether or not Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon had a son. So Amrulo Yeshla Ben. So they said, yeah, there's a son to Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. However,
Didn't exactly follow the path of neither his father nor his grandfather. V'chol zonah sheniskares b'shnayim sochar to b'shmona. Now there were zonas in town, and they would take two for payment, whatever, two coins, whatever the case was, and they would hire him for services because he was so attractive, because he was so good looking. So basically, you could see right away that he wasn't exactly following in the footsteps of neither his father nor his grandfather. Okay, Asya Asmechei b'Rebbe. So now Rebbe is going to try to be Machzer b'Tshuva, the son of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So he does the following moves, and I guess there's a lot for us to learn from all this. So number one, Asmechei b'Rebbe. So number one, he confers smicha upon him. Now, obviously, when we say smicha over here, you know, and perhaps not, you know, just as a way of pumping him up, of, you know, of making him feel like he could do it. And now he hands him over to Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakunya, Achos de Ime, who happened to have been his uncle. Okay, his mother's brother. So, Kol Yuma Hava Amar. Now, during this time when he was in this, you know, Baal Tshuva Yeshiva, if you will, I say Baal Tshuva Yeshiva, I mean a Rebbe of one and a Talmud of one. But while all this time, Amar Lekrayas Ana Ezel, I want to go to town. Okay, for years now, as a guy's been going to Israel for the year, so sometimes they spend some of their nights in town. Okay, I don't know of any, but I heard of such a thing. So Amar Le, so the Rebbe says to the Talmud Chacham Avdu Yasach, I'm going to make you a Talmud Chacham v'gulta d'havah parzolach, and I'm going to throw gold robes on you v'Rebbe Karelach, and they're going to call you Rebbe. Meaning, could you not be so short-sighted in wanting to go to town and look a little bit at the bigger picture of, you know, there are greater things for you in this world than just going to town. And you keep saying you want to go to town? Like, come on, you're thinking small. You need to think big. Amar lei mumi azuvada. And he says, just leave me this one time. I'll go one more time and that'll be it. And he made a shvua to this. I'd love to know, by the way, I put a period at this point in my Gemara, and, you know, in other words, the Gemara doesn't fill in the gap of what happened from there until he becomes now a Talmud Chacham. Again, the Gemara says it, but in other words, it was like a conditional smicha, it was just, or it was a psychological maneuver to, you know, to pump him up. So, Kigado Asa Yasebe Mesifta Derebi. So now, he grows and he becomes now a Talmud Chacham, and he heads to the yeshiva of Rebbe. Shem lekoli. Now Rebbe hears the voice. Amar le, Amar hakala dame lekala de Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. I know that voice. That's the same voice as Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Amar le brehu. So they say to Rebbe, you know, that's his son. Kari Aleh. So when Rebbe learns this, now remember, it was Rebbe who sent him to yeshiva years earlier to become this Talmud Chacham. So Rebbe had a hand in all this. So Kari Allah Prit Sadik Eitz Chaim Velokech Nefashos Chacham. And he quotes the pasuk from Mishle in the Gemara Darshans. Prit Sadik Eitz Chaim Ze Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So we now are introduced to his name. We didn't know his name up until now. So that is a reference to Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So now, in terms of our Mesorah, it's Shimon Bar Yochai, followed by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, followed then by Rabbi Yosef. Although, this, I don't think this is the Rabbi Yosef that we always see in the Mishnayos.
No, that he was much older.
Yeah. So, right. Correct. So, okay. So, anyway. So, V'lokech nefashos chacham, the second half of the Pasuk of Mishle, Zeh Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lakunya. He is lokech nefashos. He takes souls, meaning, taking meaning, in other words, he took this kid and he worked with him and he basically turned him into a Talmud Chacham. Kinach nafshei amtu l'marasa davua. So when Rabbi Yossi dies, meaning the son of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, so they take him to the cave of his father and his grandfather. So there was a snake coiled around the entrance. And so a petition, open up, let us bring in the son to his father. So lo paschu lehu. Now here, the snake did not allow entrance so that the son should be able to go into the cave of his father and his grandfather. Now, people knew, they heard this, and they assumed that this has to do with stature. that the son was not as great as the father. Yata Basko Amra, Lomim Nisha Zegal Mizela Zea Yabitsar Ma'ara, Vizelo Yabitsar Ma'ara. No, it has nothing to do with stature. It just happens to, it has to do with the fact that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, together with his own father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, were in a cave together. So therefore, they were allowed passage into this particular cave. And I'm imagining that there's something special and unique about this particular cave. And so therefore, they were allowed entrance into this cave. However, Rabbi Yossi, who did not have this life experience, therefore was not allowed entrance into this cave. Ikla Rabbi Lasri de Rabbi Tarfon. We now move on. And we now are discussing Rebbe going to the town of Rebbe Tarfon. So we are basically, the theme is, Rebbe goes and visits past Gedolim and sees if they have progeny, and perhaps the progeny needs a little bit of encouragement in terms of being, you know, Shomer Torah and Shomer Mitzvos and becoming a Talmid Chacham. So Ikla Rebbe La'asrei de Rebbe Tarfon. So now he goes to the community of Rebbe Tarfon. Amalu Yesh Lo Ben La'oso Tzadik Shaya Mekapech Es Banav. Now, Rabbi Tarfon would, on occasion, make a shvuah, and in the shvuah that he would say, you know, my son should die, if such and such. Now, in general, of course, we shouldn't talk like that, right? And, you know, it's al tiftach piv l'satan, but he did that on occasion, and so Rabbi suspected that Rabbi Tarfon did not have any sons, and Rabbi was right, mostly. Amru lo ben ein lo bas, ben bas yeshlo. So he didn't have any sons, he did have daughters, and he has a grandson. But again, to be fair and honest, the grandson is not exactly towing the line. And like we saw regarding the son of Rabbi Lazar, so the Gemara tells us the same thing regarding the grandson of Rabbi Tarfon, and that is that the Zonas would hire him because he was so attractive, and that's the kind of life that he lived. So here he uses another technique of getting him to be Chozer B'Tshuva, and he says that if you're Chozer B'Tshuva, I will give you my daughter. Rebbe's offering up his daughter. Now, just yesterday's off, we saw Rav Yochanan offering his sister, so that Reish Lakish will become a Baal Tshuva. Hadar Bein. So he was Chozer B'Tshuva. This is now the grandson of Rebbe Tarfon. Igadami Nasba V'Girsha, Igadami Lo Nasba Klal. Now, two versions of the story. He married her and divorced her, or he never married her at all. Because he didn't want people to say that he was only Chozer B'Tshuva just because of the woman that he married. Now the Gemara says, now Rebbe, why was this such an endeavor of his? That he would go town to town looking after, you know, lost children of Gedolim and trying to get them to come back. And the Gemara tells us two success stories. So the Amar of Yura Amarav Amila Amar of Chia Barab Amar of Yochanan, the Amar Yula Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar of Yonasan, Kol Hamalame is Ben Chaver Torah. Anyone who teaches the son of his friend Torah, Zochav Yoshev Yeshiva Shamala. So you get his chus. Shinemar Im Tashiva Shivach Lefanaita Amod. If you cause others to be Chozer B'Tshuva, you stand with me. V'chol Amalamid is Ben Am Haaretz Torah. I feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to Gzera Mevatle Bishvilo. And if you take an Am Haaretz and you teach him Torah, and you get him to go down the path of becoming a Talmid Chacham, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will tear up his own Gzeros. Shenemar V'im Totzi Yakar Mizolel. If you take something from Zolel, Zolel means something which is Zol, impoverished. Here we mean he's an Am Haaretz. And you take that and you turn it into a Talmid Chacham, so then Mikipi Tiyeh. You will be like the mouth of Akash Baruch Hu, meaning that if Akash Baruch Hu makes a gzera, you'll be able to tear it up. Amar Panach, Amar of Yochanan, Koshu Tamachacham, Uvno Tamachacham, Uben Beno Tamachacham. If you can go three generations in a row of Tamid Chachamim, so that's it, you're set for generations. Shuv in Torah posekes mizaro laolam. So Torah will continue indefinitely in that lineage. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Vanizos brisi v'chule lo yamush mipicha o mipi zarecha o mipi zera zarecha amar Hashem yatav yadolam. Okay, we have familiarity with the pasuk in Yeshayahu. We say it every day. It's part of the Uval of Sion. And the Gemara now darshans. My amar Hashem, amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani arev lach b'davar zeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the guarantor on this. My Me'atavi Adolah, Mamar of Yirmiyah, Mekamba, Elach Torah, Mechazer, Zalachsan, Yeshulah. Me'atavi Adolah, meaning that now that you've gone three generations of Talmid Chachamim, so now Torah has an abode in this lineage. And the Torah is always going to come back over here. And the Gemara doesn't say this, but the idea is that even if we skip a generation, even if we skip a couple generations, but Torah is always going to come back to this particular family. Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Arban Tanisiv, Ve'akruhu, Lo Yemushu Mipicha. Rav Yosef fasted for 40 consecutive days. I imagine he ate during the night. He fasted for 40 consecutive days, but, wrong conjunction. And he, and the following pasuk was read to him, meaning either it was a baskol or it was bechalom, but the following pasuk was read to him, Lo Yemushu Mipicha. Okay, Torah is going to stay by you.
Yeah.
For another 40 days, so he was promised that the Torah was going to stay by his children. Yosef, now in the Argamar we have the word Mea, but on the side the Girsa should be Mem. Probably what happened is that it was a Mem with a Witchik, and the Witchik turned into 100, but anyway. So Yosef Mea Tanisa Achrina, Asav Akur Lo Yimushumi Picha Mipizarecha Mipizarezarecha. And so now that afforded him the promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his grandson would now be a Talmid Chacham. Amar Mikan Ve'elach Lo Tzarechina. So he says, okay, now I'm good. Three generations, I'm locked in. Torah Mechazeres Al Achsan Yeshalah. Rabbi Zera Kisalg La'arad Yisrael. Rabbi Zera made Aliyah. And Yosef Me'at Tanisa, and he fasted for 100 consecutive days. Dilishakech Gamar Bavla Mine. And the reason why he did that is so that that he would forget all the learning that he learned in Bavel. Ki hechi delo nitrude, so it would not bother him. Meaning, basically, what he wanted to do is he wanted to start fresh and he wanted to learn Torah anew, and not Torah's Bavel, but he wanted to learn Torah's Eretz Yisrael. A couple of very interesting maramakamos over here. One, Rashi right here in our daf. Rashi writes the Lo Nitrude. He says, "Kishal Allah Eretz Yisrael Lo Mod Mipi Rabbi Yochanan va'Amoraim Sheber Eretz Yisrael." So he's now going to Eretz Yisrael and he's going to learn Torah from Rabbi Yochanan and the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. Lo Hayu B'nei Machlokas. So their style of learning was without arguing. V'Nochin Zelazeh Kishemen. They were smooth to one another like oil. Kedamrin of Sanhedrin, and he quotes the Gemara in the third parak of Sanhedrin. Umiyashvin es hataamim belokushus upirukim. They explain everything smoothly. It wasn't a combative nature of learning Torah. In Bavel, back and forth, fighting, arguing, bickering. Bickering is not the right word. It's not bickering. But in other words, it's a combative style of learning. And Eretz Yisrael, it's not that style. And Rabbi Zera knew that he was going to be introduced to a new style of learning. And so therefore, he didn't want to be affected by his past learning experience. So therefore, he consciously forgot it in order so that he can learn anew. Another interesting maramakam over here is a Ridva in Yuma. Okay, see, quoted this Ridva a number of times in the past. The Ridva in Yuma quotes a tshuva of the Rambam, meaning the tshuva the Rambam writes that if we could take the tkufa of the Amorayim, right, a period of time from the time the Mishnah was written until the Gemara was finally finished editing, circa 5th to 6th century. So you're basically talking approximately about 300 years of Limud HaTorah from the Sima Mishnah, which was about 200 of the Common Era, to about 500 of the Common Era. And the Rambam writes in a tshuva, quoted by the Ritva in Yuma, that the earlier generations of the Amorayim, so the Torah was qualitatively better in Eretz Yisrael. He writes this. You'll forgive me, I don't have it in front of me, I'm not reading it from you, but you could look it up. It's Daphnan Zayin and Yuma. So he says that the Torah was qualitatively better in Eretz Yisrael. And he uses our Gemara as that one piece of the evidence that this was in fact so. Rabbi Zera, who lived in the earlier tkufas of the Amorayim, so he made his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he forgot all the Torah they learned in Bavel in order to experience Torah Eretz Yisrael. So, because it was qualitatively better. And then he goes on to write, but as the generations continued, and as you move to the end of the tkufa of the Amorayim, so then the balance of power shifted from Eretz Yisrael to that of Bavel, and in Bavel the Torah ended up becoming qualitatively better. And, I mean, we all know this, meaning when considering which Gemara we learned, the Bavli or the Yushalmi, so we all learned the Bavli. The Bavli, of course, was written at the end of the tkufa of the Amorayim, and that's why the Bavli ended up becoming more prominent. Yasiv Mea Achrinisa. So we talked about Rabbi Zera's first 100 days of fasting to forget the learning of the Torah that he did in Bavel, and then he did another 100 days of fasting. The Lolishka of Rabbi Lazar Bishaneha. He did not want Rabbi Lazar to die while he was in Eretz Yisrael. V'naflan ilave milu tzibura, because he knows that if Rabbi Lazar would have died, so then he would have been given the mantle of leadership, and he did not want it. In other words, it would have been too disturbing, too distracting, and when you're a leader, so it really will affect your learning. Yosef me'achrina de lo nishla bay nur de gehenim. And then for a third 100 days of fasting, he fasted so that he would not be affected by the fires of Gehenna. Kol tilsin yomen havabatik nafshei. Now for 30 days he would check himself and see whether or not it worked. Shagar tanura salik v'yasev b'gavei v'lo havei shalta b'nura. And the way he tested himself is he would go into an oven and see whether or not he was flammable. And if he was, so then obviously didn't help, but turned out for 30 days he went into the oven, and the fires did not affect him whatsoever. Yom echad yavo be'rabanan eina, but one day the chachamim gave him the ayin hara, and ve'ichrichu shakei, and his legs got singed when he tried the test again. Ve'karulei, and from that point going forward, he was given the nickname of Kitin Charech Shakei. Kitin, Rashi says, is because he was actually short, so therefore he was called Kitin, and Charech Shakei as a result of this episode where his legs were burnt. Now, as a general point, yeah, you read my mind. As a general point, you're not allowed to give people nicknames, right? That's Onaz Dvarim. And so, generally speaking, it's a little bit difficult to understand that he went around with this nickname, and the Chachamim called him this name, when generally speaking, you're not allowed to give somebody a nickname. Mechan Hashem Lechavero, somebody who gives a pejorative, a derogatory name to his friend. So the Gemara speaks very harshly about doing so. So how do you go around with this nickname? I'm perfectly not clear how that worked. Could be. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Mai Dichziv. The Gemara over here quotes another drasha. The pasuk says, "Mi aisha chacham yavin etzos v'asher diber pi Hashem elav v'agida ama avda ha'aretz." Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "You know, you're going to do an investigation, a full blown investigation of why it is that avda ha'aretz, that we lost the land." And the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And Davar Zeh, Amru Chachamim, Velo Pirshuhu. Right? They turned to the Chachamim. Why, who is this wise man who could tell us? Nobody knew. Amru Nevi'im, Velo Pirshuhu. They turned to the Nevi'im. Nobody knew. Achi Pirshu Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo. Shenemar V'yomar Hashem Al-Azvam Estorasi Asher Nasati Lefneihem. So the Jewish people left my Torah. Now there is, again, another Maramakam over here. There's a Ran in Nedarim. The same Gemara over here is quoted in Nedarim, Adaf Pei Aleph. And the Ran in Nedarim says over there that if we weren't learning Torah, so then it shouldn't have been such a mystery. Meaning, everybody would then know why it is that we lost Eretz Yisrael, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. It had to have been something more subtle. And the Ran says over there, then that's the pshat in our Gemara. Meaning, let's read on in the Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda Marav Shalom Birchu B'Torah Tchila. It wasn't a function of our lack of Limud HaTorah. No, we learned Torah. But what we didn't do is we didn't make a Birchas HaTorah beforehand. A Birchas HaTorah shows a Chashivas HaTorah, meaning it's not just that we're learning Torah, but there's significance to the Torah. It's, you know, beyond words how important Torah is. And what we do is we make a Birchas HaTorah to show how significant it was. That's what they lack. They lack the Birchas HaTorah. I'm Rav Chama Mai Dichziv Belev Navon Tanuach Chachma Uvekerv Ksilim Tivada. Right, in the heart of those who are bright, so there'll be Chachma, and in the Kerv Ksilim, in the fool, Tivada will become known. Strange pasuk to translate. The Gemara goes on to explain. Belev Navon Tanuach Chachma is a Tamach Chacham ben Tamach Chacham. So that is a reference to a Tamach Chacham, the son of a Tamach Chacham, of the Kerv Ksilim Tivada, is a Tamach Chacham ben Am Haaretz. But the second half of the pasuk is a reference to a Tamach Chacham who actually comes from an Am Haaretz. Amar Ula Hainadamir Inshe, Astira Beligna Kish Karya. And the Gemara says, I'll give you a great expression, and that is as follows. Is that if you have a single coin, so in the pocketbook, so it makes a lot of noise, because there are no other coins over there. And so therefore it rattles.
Masha'in Kane, if the purse is full of coins and there's nowhere for the coins to move, so it's not going to rattle. That's the mashal. The nimshal, of course, is that when you are, you know, you're new to learning, so you want to show off people what you know. Hey, I learned this. Hey, I learned that. And kish kish, and you make a lot of noise. But if you're a tamachacham and tamachacham, so it's part of the mesorah. It's part of the tradition, right? And you know, and they don't have to be that communicative or that broadcasting that this is what they know. Amr Ula Hainu Dami Inshi, I read that, sorry, we continue. Amle Rav Yirmala Rav Zera Mai Dichsev Katam V'Gadol Shamhu, the small and the big are there, the Eved Chavshim Adonav, and the Eved is free from his master. So the Gemara says, Pshat in the Pasuk and Iyov, Ato Le'edina Dekatam V'Gadol Shamhu, meaning if there's somebody small and big, he's there, and we're not going to know that, meaning how do you explain just simple Pshat in the Pasuk? Ela Kol Amakin Atzmal Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh Na'aseh Gadol La'Olam Haba. If you make yourself small for Torah in this world, in other words, you don't put yourself in the Torah, but you are just ready to listen to what the Torah has to teach you, so then you'll become gadol b'olam haba. V'chol ha'masim atzmo ke'eved al divrei Torah, and if you become subservient to the Torah, so b'olam hazeh na'aseh chavshi l'olam haba. That gives you chofesh in the world to come. Reish Lakish amin mitzayin ma'arta derabanan. Reish Lakish would spend a lot of time marking off the graves of the Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. And he did that for public service. And specifically public service for the Kohanim. So that when the Kohanim walk, so they would not be stepping over the kvuros of Talmid Chachamim. Kimat alamarasa derabbi Chia I alma minei. Now when he got to the cave of Rabbi Chia, where Rabbi Chia was buried, so he lost the marking of where Rabbi Chia was buried. So in other words, totally lost where it was. Chalash Daite. It gave Reish Lakish reason to pause. Amar. Ribono Shel Olam. Lo Pipalti Torah Kamoso. Nobody was Mefalpa B'Torah more than Rabbi Chia. How could it be that we lost the Tzion, we lost the marking of where he was buried? Yatza Baskel V'Amar Lo Torah Kamoso Pipalta. So, I'm sorry. Va'amrlo Torah kamoso pipalta, Torah kamoso lo rivatsa. So the Basco comes out to Reish Lakish and says, "Look, right, you mean you Reish Lakish? You were a falpa b'Torah, and yes, you were a falpa b'Torah like Rabbi Chia, but you didn't teach others Torah like Rabbi Chia, and therefore you don't have the schus to find the kever of Rabbi Chia." Ki avamitza Rabbi Chanin Rabbi Chia amar le Rabbi China le Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chanin and Rabbi Chia were arguing with one another, which is just interesting, by the way. Earlier this morning, we talked about how the Amorim and Eretz Yisrael were noach zeh bezeh. Everything is relative, and noach zeh bezeh means not there was no fighting. It means they wasn't. The whole style was different. Anyway, yeah. So they argue with one another, and Bahadi didi kamnatzus chafes shalom e mishtacha torah misrael ma'adran alach mipil polai. And Rabbi Chanina says to Rabbi Chia, you know, if we were to lose Torah, my pilpul could bring back the Torah. So Amalei Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi Chanina, okay, that's nice, but Ba'adi Didi Kamenatzte, don't argue with me. The Avdei LaTorah Delo Tishakech MiYisrael. As a result of me, Torah was not forgotten amongst the Jewish people. My Avidna, Gemara says, what did Rabbi Chia do? You probably heard this Gemara before. Azlina V'Shadina Kitna V'Gidla Nishbe. Vitsaidna Tevi. So what he did is that he spun the flax. He grew the flax in order to make the nets, in order to trap the deer. And with the meat, he would feed it to the Yisomim. And what he did now with the hides of the deer is he wrote five chumashim, meaning the five books of Torah. And he went to the town of Makrina Chamisha Yanuke, and he called five students. Bechamisha Chumshe Umasnisa Shisa Yanuke. And he also taught the six orders of Mishnayos to another six. So he's got 11 super students. Shisa Sidre. Ve'amina Lehu Ad Hadarna Ve'asina Akra Adade. And again, another lesson in terms of teaching, and that is have the students teach, right? What's the expression? Do see one,
learn one. Learn one, do one, teach one.
All right, learn one, do one, teach one. Okay, so the and he has them teach. V'asanu adade, and so they taught one another. V'avdulu Torah de lo tichach tishach of Israel, and so with the five books of the Torah and the six orders of the Mishnayos, so he had them teaching one another. And Haynu Dama Rebbe Kama Gadol and Ma'isechia, and Rebbe commented that this what Rebbe Chia did was amazing. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, afilu mimar. So Rabbi Chia was greater than even than you. So Amalei in Rabbi says yes. Afilu me Abba. Now Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi says, what about my father? Now, right, I remember enough Gemaras to know that Rabbi had the utmost respect for Rabbi Shmuel's father, Rabbi Yossi. So at that point, Rabbi says, that's where I'm going to draw the line. Meaning Rabbi Chia is great, but not greater than your father, not greater than Rabbi Yossi. So he says, Lotei Kazos B'Yisrael, nothing's greater than that. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Amar Rabbi Zera.